I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, we are going to talk a little bit about the extreme flooding in Washington state. Governor Bob Ferguson now asking the White House for help. Plus, new reporting shows that Washington state has spent 11,000 legal hours fighting the Trump administration in just 11 months, much of it defending radical gender ideology. And a Seattle police detective is using her badge to lie to voters. It's an Undivided exclusive. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Of course, a lot of you are dealing with some severe weather, flooding in the state of Washington. This isn't really a weather show, but obviously it is so significant that we want to talk about it a little bit today. I mean, the images are just horrifying. The governor of Washington has declared a state of emergency. And I'll give him credit. You know, I think he's been doing a pretty good job trying to manage the response to it. I mean, we had a landslide over I-90. Thankfully, no one was killed. Horrifying situation for the drivers, though, where that happened. A lot of major rivers across western Washington have broken their banks. We've seen swift water rescues that have taken place. A lot of towns and neighborhoods flooded. So I know it's just a horrifying situation. I mean, I spent a lot of the night, probably like you guys, up on the phone. Our neighborhood is near flooding as well. And so we have this tiny stream, just to give you a sense of scale. And I know you've seen all the images and all those. We have this tiny little stream in our backyard. It's, you know, usually 3 feet wide, maybe ankle deep, nothing. It is about to go over the sides, and it, I mean, it's probably gone up like 3 feet. It's like 6 feet wide right now. It's insane. It looks like a raging river. So this situation is not good. As I mentioned, Governor Bob Ferguson had a press conference. You know, this is, look, it shouldn't be political, right? You have a situation with weather. It shouldn't be political, but I think it kind of becomes political. You have a governor in Bob Ferguson who's spent the last 10 years, you know, fighting Donald Trump, saying horrible things about Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't like that. You know, he just doesn't like that. So now you have a situation where you need the urgent help of the federal government. Now, hopefully the White House and President Trump wouldn't hold Bob Ferguson's wrongdoings against the entire state. But Bob Ferguson says that he has a call with FEMA and he desperately needs a federal emergency declaration.
I have a call with FEMA Region 10 to request an expedited emergency declaration from the federal government. We need the federal government to grant that request. This is critical. If granted, that emergency allows us to access life, safety, and emergency protective measures and additional federal resources, which will be key for us to address the extremely challenging situation that Washingtonians are facing right now. And again, I want to emphasize how important it is that we get this declaration from the federal government. The situation is extremely serious. The next few days are going to be very critical.
Yeah, and there's some context here. So we had the bomb cyclone, or was this crazy wind, a lot of people out of power, and he didn't get the help he wanted from the federal government there. And then, so he went off on Donald Trump about it. And a reporter that was in the room asked Governor Ferguson, you know, given the bomb cyclone situation, are you worried that President Trump might deny you the sort of response that you want this time around?
Obviously, I'm acutely aware of the denial before, and I've shared my thoughts about that in the past. I won't repeat those here. You know, what I will say right now is that, you know, lives will be at stake in the coming days, and we need the federal government to do what's entirely appropriate here, which is to declare an emergency that taps into the resources and the assistance from the federal government that literally can help us save lives and help individuals save their homes and their property and their livestock. You know, all I can really say in response to your question is we need them to approve it, and we'll be doing everything we can to make sure they have all the information that lays out very, very clearly what's happening here in Washington state.
Yeah, and I think the president will. And look, again, politics shouldn't factor into it. But there is, and Trump shouldn't be petty about stuff like that. But also, this is what it is like to have a leader who doesn't take these things into consideration when he's in the relationship he has with the White House. And like Bob Ferguson is absolutely unhinged about President Trump. And the reality is that we have to work with the other Washington. We have to work with the White House. We need things sometimes from President Donald Trump. And so when you fight him every single step of the way, we don't have a good relationship with the other Washington. And that can hurt. Hopefully it doesn't hurt in a situation like this. But I mean, we all have to be adults, because there are things that transcend politics, like weather-related instances. Proud of our congressional delegation. Every single one of them, Democrat, Republican, signed on to a letter this morning. It was pushed out about an hour ago to the President of the United States, saying we write in support of Washington State's request for an expedited emergency declaration due to the devastating extreme rainfall, high winds, heavy snowfall, ice accumulation, and major coastal river localized flooding. And yeah, I mean, the situation is absolutely deserving of the emergency declaration that they're asking. They say that if they can get an expedited declaration, it'll also help with debris removal and emergency protection measures. So they say, we appreciate your prompt attention to this request. So we will await news on that from the White House and the President of the United States. Again, we're not going to dwell on this story today because we are not weather meteorologists. That's redundant. We're not meteorologists. And I'm sure that you've been watching the footage everywhere. And we have a ton of other stories to get to today. I did want to ask you guys, though, because I was thinking about all of you really last night as I was thinking about my neighbors and my friends. And I was so proud of my community. I saw a bunch of images. I got stuck at a hotel last night because the landslide prevented me from getting home. And then the back route was just about to flood over the road. And so my husband's like, just stay at a hotel because I don't know that you're going to be able to get out here. But I saw a ton of just wonderful images of people filling up sandbags, coming in, helping neighbors out, helping friends, helping businesses. And, you know, we need to see some of that occasionally, given the state of things in America. And so I was really proud of my community and other communities for stepping up in that way. But I was worried about all of you, too, and how you're doing. I asked you if your home or community was currently impacted by flooding in our subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals, and X this morning. 30% of you say yes. And I think that's pretty significant. That is a pretty significant number of people in our audience who are impacted by flooding this morning. A few of you have family and friends. Jackie says, we're in Kent. We lost power and internet yesterday due to the storm. And then I know a lot of you were also saying that you had kids. My neighbor kids were rushed out of school 2 hours early because the flooding was coming up so high. It was like, if we don't get the kids out of school now, then we're not going to be able to get them out of school. Let's see. AJ says, Ferndale, just north of Bellingham, there's a voluntary evacuation downtown within 4 blocks of the river. Our parks are underwater. Schools are closed. Yeah, tens of thousands of Washingtonians are under an emergency evacuation order, a get out now order. Don't wait, because if you wait too long, that's when you have to be the person who's carried off in a swift water rescue. And I'm sorry, that should only be reserved. I don't mean to laugh about it. It should only be reserved for the elderly and the disabled, because anyone who's not elderly or disabled should have gotten out when they were told to get out. And so I'm, by all means, there's no shame in getting a swift water rescue if you're elderly or disabled. But if you're just a functioning adult on a swift water rescue, I might make fun of you, to be frank, because you didn't get out when you were supposed to get out. Patrick, I'm in Sammamish. I have a creek next to my property. That creek has taken 2 of the 4 pastures, working on the third. Pain in the butt. They should tax us to stop the flooding. Yeah, I'm sure that tax isn't far behind. So I'm going to read all your comments today after the show as well, just to check in on you guys and see how you're doing. All right, let's get to what we do here on the show. Again. Although I'm not a meteorologist, I could probably cover weather at this point better than most meteorologists, because I'm sure they're blaming climate change right about now, and I frankly don't want to hear it. All right, so there is, of course, an obsession in the state of Washington with our attorney generals in suing President Donald Trump. In fact, here is Attorney General Nick Brown last week bragging about his, how many lawsuits is it, Nick?
This marks the 45th case that we have brought against the Trump administration in the last 11 and a half months.
45 and 11 and a half months. It's ridiculous. He's outpacing Bob Ferguson. He's very proud of it. But there is this, and I think we've always wondered, how much, you know, time is his office spending on just suing Donald Trump? And how much money is his office spending on just suing Donald Trump? And the Center Square of Washington, TJ Martinell, has a great story. It was just published this morning. Go read it. It says, political conflict alleged over Washington Attorney General's involvement in initiative legal battle. So there's this interesting tie and problem that this article points out between the current attorney general's obsession with suing Donald Trump and the ongoing initiatives over parental rights and protecting girls' sports. The article reads, the Washington State Attorney General's office billed more than 11,000 hours of attorney and staff work on lawsuits against the federal government in an eight-month period following the November 2024 election, according to records obtained by the Center Square. More than a third of those hours were spent working on a lawsuit against President Donald Trump's executive order regarding federal funding for medical providers who perform gender-affirming procedures on children. So 11,000 hours the AG's office has spent. That is just numbers from the first 8 months after the November election. That's obscene. They unfortunately don't have a monetary figure attached to that. They're working on it, I'm told. But what's key here is a third of that specifically is Washington Attorney General Nick Brown fighting the Trump administration on transgender issues. The Center Square writes, the AGO's legal arguments and time spent on the lawsuit has drawn concern from Let's Go Washington, which is behind an initiative to prevent boys from participating in girls' sports. The group is concerned about whether the AG will adequately defend initiatives' ballot titles, summary, or legality if it passes and were to be legally challenged. And that is absolutely something to be concerned about. So here you have an Attorney General, Nick Brown, who has spent, carry the two, roughly 3,500 hours fighting the Trump administration on transgender issues to defend transgender rights, what they perceive as transgender rights. And now we have in Washington State this very high-profile initiative effort that is nearing the end, specifically to keep transgender biological boys who identify as girls out of girls' sports. And who would have to defend that initiative if it were to become law? The Attorney General of the State of Washington. Well, can the Attorney General of the State of Washington, who's spending thousands of hours suing the Trump administration over transgender issues, really be trusted to defend an initiative that some say would hurt transgender youth? I think the answer is most decidedly no. And that seems to be the issue that the Center Square is raising with this data. So specifically, the lawsuit over transgender issues that the Attorney General's office has spent something like 3,500 hours fighting against doesn't have to do with the athletics issue. It has to do with medical interventions for transgender youth. But still, the sentiment is the same. On January 28th, Trump signed Executive Order 14-187, titled Protecting Children from Chemical and Surgical Mutilation. The order cut federal funding, such as research and education grants, to medical institutions that perform underage gender-affirming procedures, such as prescribing puberty blockers and cosmetic-style mastectomies on females. And in the lawsuit, Attorney General Nick Brown called the president's actions cruel and baseless. So we know where Nick Brown stands on this issue. And we've known it for a long time. And in fact, and I was searching really quick before the show because this story was just published and I was trying to get it ready to cover today. You know, I interviewed Nick Brown before the 2024 election. And one of the conversations we had was, can voters trust you to defend initiatives that you don't agree with? Because at the time, of course, we were dealing with other initiatives on issues around taxation and the Climate Commitment Act. And Nick Brown was opposed to all of them. And here he was running for attorney general. And not only would the attorney general's office have to defend initiatives, regardless of what the initiatives were or how they felt about them, but they're also responsible for the ballot titling. And there has long been frustration that the ballot titles, so the actual thing that appears on your ballot for conservative initiatives, is written in a very confusing manner. And it absolutely is. I mean, go look at the ballot title for the initiative right now to require voter ID. You read it, I could read it 10 times and not really tell you 100% what it meant. And I think that's by design. So you have progressives, leftists, Democrats, who are involved in every aspect of the initiative process, from writing the ballot title, approving it, you know, counting signatures, making sure verification, and then ultimately maybe an attorney general who doesn't agree with any of it, defending it in a court of law against his own allies. Because who would be most likely to sue over the initiative to keep boys out of girls' sports? The Washington Education Association. There's probably a couple other groups like Gender Justice League, but Washington Education Association and some of those far left entities. Well, they all support Nick Brown. That's the political ally of theirs. And I remember in our interview before the November election, him reassuring me that he would do his job, that that would be his job as the Attorney General of the state of Washington, is to defend the will of voters. But how many times has that worked in the past? I hate to beat a dead horse, sorry, PETA, but $30 car tabs. Keep voting for it, never get it. And it's because they're not really defending the will of voters. They're defending their own personal ideology and the ideology of their donors. I personally think, based on this data that's revealed by the Center Square and the amount of effort and energy the Attorney General's office has spent fighting the Trump administration on transgender issues, I think that that's a conflict of interest for Nick Brown. I think he's shown that he can't be fair on this particular issue. And I, for one, don't want Nick Brown or the Attorney General's office defending the will of voters. I think it's a total conflict of interest. And Let's Go Washington, if and when this passes, should be able to have outside counsel. And they can work in concert with the state on that, because the state does have to foot the bill for it, because it defends the will of voters. But there's no way in hell I want the Attorney General's office to touch that case with a 10,000-foot pole. But I think, interestingly, an interesting follow-up to this story is going to be 11,000 hours so far fighting the Trump administration. How much is that costing all of you in this budget crisis that we're in? So I'm going to talk more about this issue of boys and girls sports coming up next. I know you might think, Brandy, you're focused so much on this, but there's so many angles to it. There's so much dishonesty going around. There's so much money being spent and influence being spent and peddled on this thing, this stupid thing, trying to keep boys and girls sports the dumbest possible policy position that these people could be fighting to maintain. And to me, I've said it a million times, it's a litmus test. If you guys can't, if the Democrats can't just jump ship on this issue, if they can't say, yeah, boys are different than a girl and there's issues here, then they can't be trusted on anything else. And it's one of these things where the tide just has to turn for us to get back to common sense and sanity. And so that's why I'm harping on it so much. But we've got this great exclusive, a Seattle police detective using her badge to peddle lies to voters about the initiatives. And the Seattle Police Department seems mostly okay with it. We'll discuss coming up. First, our friends at Valentine Roofing have just been awarded the best roofing company in the Pacific Northwest for a third year in a row. Not one, not two, 3 years in a row. We only partner with the best. They offer a variety of services, not just roofing. Right now, I just want to remind you a couple more times before Christmas is upon us that they do custom holiday lighting, which I think is a great service to be done this time of year. Probably won't come out today, though. I imagine a lot of the Valentine roofing vans are probably not able to install anything in this weather. But speaking of the weather that we just had, that is going to be your indicator as to whether you need a new roof. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of you who found some leaks, certainly with the days of rain that we've had. So Valentine Roofing can come out. They can take a look at it. Maybe it's a leak that can be easily repaired. And if not, they can schedule time to put a new roof on for you. And the nice thing is they have flexible financing options, including zero down, 0% interest. So taking care of your home and your home's roof has never been easier. They also do gutter cleaning installation, attic insulation, even exterior cleaning, and like I said, custom holiday lighting. So after the storm clears, you know, maybe that's a good time to do an assessment of your roof, see how it held up. Maybe it is time for a new one. You call our friends at Valentine. So 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing. Please let them know you heard about them on Undivided. Okay, so we know the biggest pushback that we're seeing against the initiative to keep boys out of girls' sports, the biggest lie, let's say, is this lie being peddled by WA Families for Freedom, which is the organization that has sprung up to oppose both of the initiatives, one dealing with parental rights and education, the other one keeping boys out of girls' sports. And they have been pushing this disgusting lie that if we keep boys out of girls' sports, this will mean invasive genital exams of kids. Saying girls as young as 11 could be forced into invasive physical exams of their reproductive organs if they want to play on an after-school team, violating their privacy and increasing chances for abuse. It's so disgusting, I can hardly tolerate it. But that narrative, true or not, it's not, and we'll describe this in detail today, that narrative is being picked up by other people. For example, this guy who was with his kid who said something very similar to someone who was gathering signatures.
What did you say to me?
Oh, I said you're still trying to look at kids' genitals.
No, not at all. I'm just collecting signatures to get things on the ballot and make it fair.
still trying to look at kids' genitals. I mean, that's straight out of the Waugh Families for Freedom playbook. And it's because they know this is such a 90-10 issue that they have to come up with the most disturbing narrative around it and just hope that people believe it. And unfortunately, there are people who believe it. And now they're taking that line and they're accusing people of wanting to look at kids' genitals. Now, of course, we've already debunked this, and we'll debunk it again today in more detail than we ever have before. But one of the people who debunked it is a Spokane pediatrician who came on the show with us and said, kids already have to get physical exams and well exams. One of the chief arguments against it is that it would subject these student athletes to invasive physical exams where everyone would be forced to prove that they're a boy or a girl. From a pediatrician perspective, doesn't that happen anyway? Isn't that,
that
what
happens
a physical
anyway?
Does?
You got it. Yeah. Yes. All adolescents should be monitored for how they go through puberty to make sure that their hormone system is working correctly and they're going to grow and develop normally and go through puberty appropriately. So it is completely routine for every developing adolescent to have a genital exam at some point in their during their pubertal years. And all that doctor have to do is to take a half a second or less to look at the relevant anatomy and document it in the chart.
This is also, it's already happening. If your kid goes to the doctor for their annual well exams, in fact, I was looking at resources online, even UCLA, the Washington State Department of Health, all of the far very progressive medical institutions in Washington State and elsewhere have frequently asked questions about annual wellness exams for kids. And in there it talks about, you know, these are head-to-toe exams. And a parent can be in the room because, you know, they're going to have to look at anatomy and do all of these things, and it walks you through it. So this is already happening. Kids already get exams. And nothing in the text of the initiative would suggest that this is going to create an environment or a mandate where a girl walks in to play volleyball and a coach says, you have to show me your genitals. And that's literally what Waugh Families for Freedom is suggesting. In fact, you can take a look at the text of the initiative yourself. It's not a secret. You literally go to letsgowaugh.com. And in fact, if you see someone out there collecting signatures, flip the page over. It has a full text of the initiatives. They have to have that available for you to read in its entirety. And so it's not a mystery. It says existing Washington state law and school district policies require students to undergo a routine physical examination prior to participation in interscholastic sports, which includes documentation of the student's sex assigned at birth. That's already a requirement by the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association. And I have the evidence of that, again, coming up in just a moment. It also says a student who elects to participate in individual or team competition activities intended for female students only, governed under Section 1 of this section, shall provide, as part of the required routine sports physical examination, a health examination and consent form, or other statement signed by the student's personal health care provider that verifies the student's biological sex. So that's all that they need to do. That's all that they need to do is you already have to do this to participate in sports. You have to get it done every other year. You have to get a physical exam according to the WIAA. We have this handbook. Can you pull up the WIAA handbook, Nicole, on physical examination? Chapter 18, Section 4, Physical Examination. Prior to the first practice for participation in interscholastic athletics, a student shall undergo a thorough medical examination and be approved for interscholastic athletic competition by a medical authority licensed to perform a physical examination. So it's already a requirement. Now, what's the only added thing to this? Your doctor, who's already giving you an every other year physical exam so you can participate in high school sports, has to check whether you're a biological boy or a biological girl. And they already know. Your doctor already knows whether you're a biological boy or a biological girl, and they are duty-bound to tell the truth. A doctor can't lie on a form, I don't think. Well, maybe that's another situation we're going to find ourselves in, but I'm pretty sure that as a doctor, if you are asked biological boy or biological girl, you're going to have to check the correct answer, and that's all that this initiative requires. So things are about to get a lot more nefarious. Waugh Families for Freedom held a press conference about this exact topic, you know, opposing the two initiatives and spreading this insane lie that keeping boys out of girls' sports means that on site, kids are just going to have to drop their pants to prove their gender or be subjected to invasive physical examinations. I want to focus on one of the people who spoke at this WA Families for Freedom press conference. Let's allow her to introduce herself.
My name is Elizabeth Waring, and I'm coming to you as a police detective with nearly 30 years of experience. I am deeply concerned about the effects of proposed initiatives 26001 and 26638. I worked 9 years investigating hate crime and bias incidents, and many other years investigating crimes against children, sexual assault, and domestic violence.
So that is, as she described herself, a police detective. Her name is Elizabeth Waring, and after that press conference, she was further identified by media outlets as a Seattle police detective. So here you have a longtime Seattle police detective who is at this political press conference, and she is going to oppose the two initiatives. Now, it is within her right to do so. She didn't identify herself as a Seattle police detective. She is perfectly able to, and it is in accordance with department policy, to outside of work, she's not in her uniform or whatever it is, to take political positions on issues. But she did much more than that. She lied and totally manufactured information on child sex abuse and rape of teen girls. And coming from a Seattle police detective, what you're about to hear is really horrific. So, of course, she parrots the line.
Proposed Initiative 638 would force girls to prove their sex before participating in sports, including being compelled to expose their genitals to an adult if they don't have other documentation.
Lie. Lie. There is nothing in the initiative. Again, you don't have to trust me. I've already told you where you can find the full text of it. She says a girl will be forced to expose themselves to an adult. Now, play it one more time, Nicole.
Proposed Initiative 638 would force girls to prove their sex before participating in sports, including being compelled to expose their genitals to an adult if they don't have other documentation.
Compelled to expose their genitals to an adult. No, they have to get a physical exam, which is already required, and which hopefully they're already doing with their pediatrician. Kids should get a well exam every year. That's not from me. That's from the Washington State Department of Health. That's from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Kids are supposed to get a well exam every year. And yes, as our pediatrician told us, that includes a very basic examination to make sure that they're developing normally. And yes, their pediatrician, their doctor knows whether they're a biological boy or a biological girl. What a horrific thing for a Seattle police detective who says that she's got years of experience working with victims to fearmonger and lie and suggest to teen athletes and girls that if this passes, they're going to have to just expose themselves to adults. It's absolutely horrific. And she uses very definitive language. Listen.
In addition to violating a child's dignity, I believe there is a high potential for sexual abuse under circumstances such as these.
Oh my God. Without any data or statistics, she says that she believes there is a high potential for sexual abuse in circumstances such as these. What circumstances? Nothing is changing. You just add a box that says and ask the doctor, is it a biological boy or a biological girl? And you're saying, and think of a parent who has a teen athlete who hears a Seattle police detective using her badge as an authority to pretend to be an authority on the issue and saying that she thinks there's a high likelihood that your daughter's probably going to get molested if they're playing in high school sports. If this passes, let's continue to listen.
I believe this initiative would increase the risk of sexual abuse for girls participating in sports.
Oh my God.
Sexual predators often set themselves up as authority figures to give themselves more power and access to their victims.
She's just, it's out of nowhere. It's made up out of thin air. There's no proof. Think about this. You have a Seattle police detective who's saying, if we stop boys from competing in girls' sports, then more girls are going to be sexually abused. With nothing. Imagine, what do you think a parent, what does that make a parent feel? With no proof whatsoever. It's shocking. And I reached out to a few sources of the Seattle Police Department. I'm like, who is this detective wearing woman? And immediately several of them said, far leftist activist. Far leftist. So you have this woman, because of her own personal political ideology, is using her Seattle Police Department badge and the weight that comes with that to lie, using just totally manufactured, I mean, nothing, to lie and suggest that teen girls are going to be molested, and by whom? Who's going to molest them? Who's going to abuse them? Are you saying coaches are going to do this? Are you saying pediatricians are going to molest them? Again, they're already getting the exams. You just have to check the box. If she says this, again, she has no idea what she's talking about.
A physical examination is not something I would put my child through.
So you're not taking your child to the doctor? Again, go back to the WIAA handbook. Chapter 18, Section 4. Physical examination. Prior to the first practice for participation in interscholastic athletics, a student shall undergo a thorough medical examination. A medical authority licensed to perform a physical examination must do it. And she's saying that she wouldn't. Can you go back to that, Nicole? What does she say?
A physical examination is not something I would put my child through.
So then you lied at the beginning when you said that you're a coach and you're a mom of athletes. Because then that's not true. Because without a physical examination, your children aren't playing sports. And you, as a coach, because she also introduced herself as a detective and as a mom and as a coach, you would know that. So now you know, we know you know you're lying. Because as a coach, you know that all of your athletes have to get a physical examination. And you're saying a physical exam is not something I would put my children through? Okay, then that tells me you're lying about your kids playing sports. How many lies has this Seattle police detective told to push an insane ideology on the public? And we could go back. I'm not going to revisit the text of the initiative because it's very, very obvious. But these aren't the only lies that she tells. So I want to play a couple more clips from her that I can just prove. Because again, aren't police, is this a, it's like, are, can you even be trusted? It's a, isn't it a Brady violation? I mean, I know she's not under oath. But if you are a police detective with a history of deceit, then prosecutors can sometimes have a difficult time putting you on the stand. And so we rely on police officers to be very honest. Yet multiple instances in here, she's just telling flat out, easily provable falsehoods. Here's another one.
We already have a successful statewide policy in place since 2007 that allows schools to make decisions for transgender girls in sports on a case-by-case basis.
That's not true. Play it again. That's not true.
We already have a successful statewide policy in place since 2007 that allows schools to make decisions for transgender girls in sports on a case-by-case basis.
Where the hell, that's not true. WIAA Handbook, Chapter 18, Section 16, Gender Identity Participation. All students have the opportunity to participate in WIAA athletics and or activities in a manner that is consistent with their gender identity. Currently, most athletic programs are offered separately for boys and girls. Athletes can participate in programs consistent with their gender identity or the gender they most consistently express. Schools can't make a choice about that in Washington State. They would be, if you were a school district and you made some sort of choice not to let a boy compete with girls, then the state, you'd be sued. You'd be punished for it. You can't do it. It's out of line with state law and with WIAA policy. So play what she said again.
We already have a successful statewide policy in place since 2007 that allows schools to make decisions for transgender girls in sports on a case-by-case basis.
No, it doesn't allow it to be a case-by-case basis. The student gets to choose. What are you even talking about? Do you really think that there is going to be no ramifications for just lying through your teeth as a Seattle police detective in a manner that is going to make parents fear for the safety of their children? when they shouldn't and are getting these exams already? This is wild. Again, the lies continue. She also lied about the other initiative, the parental rights law.
I know from experience that school is often a safe haven from a difficult or dangerous living situation. This initiative makes no exceptions for circumstances where there's a history of abuse in the family.
That's not true. The initiative doesn't deal with that because abuse is already against the law. That is one of the only areas under state law where a school can keep information from a parent. Because abuse is against the law and they're mandatory reporters to law enforcement. So they immediately, if they suspect abuse, they are duty bound by the law to get law enforcement involved. So abuse has nothing to do with it. Why are you fear-mongering over this? You're a police detective. You work with crime victims. It's genuinely disgusting. Now, if she had gotten up there in her personal capacity and said, look, you know, I think boys should be able to compete against girls. I think that this will be hard on transgender people. And I'm in the biased crimes unit and I don't want to see them, whatever it is. I would disagree with you. But then at least you wouldn't be lying. You'd just be sharing your position on transgender issues involving kids. But you're out there telling parents their girls are going to be molested? You're out there talking about being concerned that children are going to be abused and sexually assaulted, and you won't even take into consideration the girls who have expressed concern about having biological boys and men in their locker rooms. Why aren't you concerned about their safety in those instances? There was just a report that came out today about the uptick in cases of rape and sexual abuse in locker rooms where they let boys in to girls' faces. So you don't care about any of that. The lies aren't just lies. They're disgusting, coming from a detective who is now convinced all these parents their kids are going to get raped if they're in high school athletics and this initiative passes. So, of course, I reached out to the Seattle Police Department about this. And look, I understand that, and I've been covering politics and the intersection of all these things for a long time. You know, I remember there being a state patrolman who appeared in an ad for something and they kind of stretched and went over the line, got in trouble for it. But on your free time, you're allowed to take political positions. But that's not this. This is peddling lies to the public about crime. About crime. It's not right. And so I sent probably a dozen or more questions to the Seattle Police Department about, you know, whether they knew she was going to do this, whether it's okay with them that she did this, and their response to the very clear, easily provable falsehoods that she's telling. This is what they told me. This detective did ask permission to attend an event to speak as an expert on hate crimes, domestic violence, and sexual abuse. She was given permission to speak with very strict guidelines so that she would remain within department policy. They did say one of those guidelines was not identifying herself as a member of SPD, which she didn't, but she was identified as such in subsequent news coverage. So for all intents and purposes, she was there as a member of the Seattle Police Department. They go on to say individuals who campaign for state, county, or city issues do not represent the Seattle Police Department or the City of Seattle. The Seattle Police Department remains committed to the safety of all who live in, work, or visit the city, regardless of their political, religious, or personal beliefs. And look, I understand that they probably were not going to give us some sort of significant statement condemning this detective, but behind the scenes, I pray to God they are. Because you cannot have a detective peddling misinformation about crime because of her personal political agenda. And I had asked them in a follow-up to that question, you know, basically that, which is, you know, she's identified as an SPD detective in media coverage, and she's telling lies. She's making assumptions about something she has no data to back up. And it has to do with such a serious topic. It has to do with child sex abuse. And is it really okay for a detective, even if they're not identifying themselves as SPD, to be out there doing that on such a sensitive issue? When we've already disproven it, we have a pediatrician, State Department of Health, all the major medical institutions who already talk about child well exams, physical exams, and we have the WIAA saying you already have to have physical exams to participate. This is about checking a box. It's one thing for politicians to lie. It's one thing for political organizations to lie. It is a different thing entirely for a Seattle police detective to use her badge to lie to the public about child sex abuse. It's absolutely disgusting. I do want to remind you guys, we are going to have another rally this Saturday. We're going to be back in Tumwater at Michael T. Simmons Elementary. We are down to the wire on the Let's Go initiative, Let's Go Washington initiatives. And for the record, because people always ask this, I have no formal relationship with Let's Go Washington. They don't pay me to go to these events. They don't pay me to convince people to sign the initiatives. I just believe in these so deeply. And I'm so proud of the young girls who have stepped forward to share their stories, that we'll do everything in our power to get these initiatives across the finish line. So you've got to be there on Saturday. If you're in the area, you haven't signed these, we are running out of time. And if you have initiatives forms that you've been collecting signatures on, you got to put them in the mail, guys. You got to put them in the mail because they need time to count them. And this really is going to come down to the wire. Man, I'm so upset about this thing with this detective. I just don't understand what goes through the head of someone to make parents fear that their children will be molested over something like as simple as this. No boys and girls sports. No boys and girls sports. I don't even know how it's legal. I guess you have free speech, but as a detective, should you really be free to spread misinformation about crime? I don't think so. No depths too low. No depths too low. All right, Katie Wilson is gearing up to officially become the mayor of Seattle, and she is talking about maybe a new American dream for families. It's not a great one, okay. Just going to give you, it's her socialist American dream that she apparently is going to try to make a reality. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Wes and his team offer a lot of things you're just not going to find anywhere else. Their listing boost concierge service is so cool, and it takes so much stress out of the process, because most of us, if you go to sell your home, you know that there are some cosmetic upgrades that you need to make in order to get the most possible value out of your home. But either you're like, I ain't paying for that shit, I'm not writing a big check, or you're like, I don't have time to do that. Well, it doesn't matter. Wes will do it for you. And you don't even have to pay for the upgrades until closing. So you get rid of the financial stress of it, and you get rid of the stress of having to manage contractors or whatever it is. Wes and his team will do that. They did it for Elizabeth W. She said, I love how they offered the exact support that I needed without any pressure. They were quick to respond to any issues. I appreciate all the support for a quick and easy sale. She took advantage of their listing boost concierge service, and she was able to sell her condo and was totally satisfied with everything. So 5 stars, sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. All right. Seattle's socialist mayor-elect, who will be the actual mayor pretty soon, has been making quite the rounds on at events, and maybe that's a good thing. She's been really out there, really public about everything that she's going to do, even if some of those things are dumb. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. So Katie Wilson just held her first transition team meeting. So she got everyone together, trying to figure out, hey, where are our priorities are going to be? She's putting people in key positions in her new administration. And affordability and making Seattle affordable for everyone seems to be a key of what she's going to focus on.
I believe we can have affordable and abundant housing, and that we don't have to have thousands of our neighbors sleeping unsheltered every night. I believe that you shouldn't need a six-figure income to feel at home in Seattle. I believe that the people who work in our hotels, in our coffee shops, should also be able to afford to live in this city and to raise a family here.
Now, look, I agree with all of that as well. But what I disagree with is her path to try to get there, because it's actually going to make the situation worse. But you'll recall that Katie Wilson, she lives in an apartment with her husband. They have a small child. Were being financially supported by Katie's well-to-do parents. Turned out like she was a nepo baby and all of these things. But she was talking about, you know, her kind of version of the Seattle or American dream.
I believe you should be able to raise a family in an apartment, as I am. And that the city should be your living room and the park should be your backyard.
Yeah, okay. Who wants Seattle, downtown Seattle, to be their living room? Mm-hmm. Not me. Who wants the homeless, needle-addled parks to be your backyard? Not me. And I love how, like, low her American dream is. Like, yeah, some people might have to raise a child in an apartment, but most people don't want to. They want to be in a house. they want to be in a house to raise a family, and they want to be able to afford a house. And so it's just this like almost this eroding of the American dream, because she probably knows she's not going to be able to achieve any sort of housing affordability. So she's like, don't worry about affording a house. The city can be your living room. The park can be your backyard. So don't worry about, don't worry about whether I make homeownership affordable or not, because you can just live in an apartment, a tiny apartment with your family, and the city is your playground. It's like, no, thank you. That might be your socialist nightmare dream, but it's not for most people. Let's see.
At least want a bedroom for their kid.
Yeah. Most people at least want a bedroom for their kid. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not saying that people don't raise their kids in townhouses or condos or whatever it is, but I think that's much different from the situation she's describing. And if you really want Seattle downtown to be your living room and parks to be your backyard, maybe you should focus on public safety to make those places safe and appealing and inviting for people to actually go out and spend time. I do like the concept, though, of getting out of the house with your kids if you live in a safe mm-hmm. area. Touching grass, breathing fresh air, all of these things. She did make one interesting choice, and that is the choice of deputy mayor. It's a guy named Brian Surratt, who worked at City Hall as the economic development director. He is the guy who closed the deal to build Climate Pledge Arena, and he is, I guess, considered maybe more business friendly than people would have expected for a choice for her for deputy mayor. Here he is with Como's Chris Daniels.
I understand fundamentally what it means to have a healthy, dynamic, robust economy. We need to have the private sector as partners, and that's what we're going to do. And that is not lip service.
I don't know. I'm going to say it's lip service until it happens. We just did a story yesterday on people just like that who are donating money to Bob Ferguson's reelection campaign after complaining about the largest tax increase in state history. And at the end of the day, he still serves at the pleasure of the mayor, who's a socialist, who has already said that she wants more revenue to fund her long wish list of items. She promised that. That's her key promise to the people who elected her, is more progressive revenue. What does that mean? Taxing the rich, taxing businesses. You can't do that and have a robust economy. You can't have that and create a successful environment for businesses. So that guy, Brian Surratt, has his work cut out for him, but God bless him for taking up the challenge, because I don't think he's as cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs as certainly her choices could have been. One other key thing, and I think a question that's circulating, is whether she's going to keep the current Seattle Police Chief, Sean Barnes, or whether she is going to replace him with some cuckoo defund activist. Here's what she told Omari Salisbury in Converge Media.
I've had several conversations now with Chief Barnes, and I will be retaining him as our police chief. I'm looking forward to building a really good working relationship with him. There are definitely some longstanding issues right within SPD that need to be addressed, and of course with how SPD is working with community stakeholders, and he's expressed to me a strong willingness to work on those issues, and so I'm really excited to roll up our sleeves and get to work.
I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. Now, I have been critical of Sean Barnes. I think Sean Barnes has been playing the progressive, playing into the progressives to keep his job. He probably knew the writing on the wall that Bruce Harrell was going to lose his job. Socialist coming in, he's like, I just got here. I don't want to go anywhere. Because remember, he had pronouns in his bio. I'm like, good Lord, man. Why do you have pronouns in your bio? But he also was making insane statements about ICE, saying they're essentially making up that they're being assaulted by people, which there's so much video of them being assaulted by people. And he's saying he's going to get arrested by Donald Trump. And so I don't know how much of that is actually him. I don't know how much of that is him trying to keep his job. So he hasn't been my favorite, but that is a better alternative, an actual person who has a career, long career in law enforcement, an actual cop, than what I feared. I feared she'd bring in a civilian. I feared that she'd bring in a police abolitionist to come in and run the department, someone who's literally never worked the beat, never done anything. So again, I think with some of these choices, they're less bad than they could be. So sometimes you just have to take the less bad of the possible options. So we're going to continue to monitor Katie Wilson's ascent to City Hall, from Nepo baby to City Hall virtually overnight. All right, a Washington classic is going to be going out of business. Let's do a double dose of unbelievable. ¶¶ Washington's poor business climate strikes again, this time a beloved Washington institution. Wild Waves is closing. And look, have I been to Wild Waves in a while? No, okay. It's been, the last time I went to Wild Waves was probably 15 years ago. I went with a friend who had kids, or maybe it was their nieces and nephews or something. And I'll tell you what, I didn't enjoy it, okay? I didn't enjoy it. I also went one time with a previous boyfriend on a date for a some like scary night. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. They, you know, do like a they Halloween do the thing or something like that.
So it's been a while. But I do enjoy seeing it from I-5. And I do know that people get a lot of joy out of it. But the reality is that they just can't make money. It says, we are thankful for our guests, team members, and the community of Federal Way for supporting Wild Waves and creating so many thrills and great memories with families and friends, said the president and owner of Premier Parks. Unfortunately, the rising cost of ongoing operations since reopening after the COVID shutdown has generated millions in losses, which forces us to discontinue operations at the end of our 2026 season. So this coming year will be the last at Wild Waves. And I wonder if somebody will try to take it over. I don't know.
It sounds like they already have plans for it. So they say that they're going to support whatever vision is for the land. So there was some hints towards it's already
towards
been
what
decided.
It might be. Interesting. Okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah. And I don't know. Is this the best place to have a what do you call it? Water park.
Well, I mean, I think it's sad because there won't be one, you know, now closer than. That's what I mean. Closer than Grand Mound, which is quite a drive for people in this area. But I guess there's some little ones in the area, but not a big one.
But Great Wolf is indoors.
It's indoors.
And that's the key. I'm sorry, Wild Waves, but like we have a couple months where it's even enjoyable to go to a water park in the state of Washington. How can you be profitable?
I did go maybe the last couple weeks that it was open, I went in September maybe. And I mean, there was a lot of people there, but it always shocked me that they made any money because you could buy a season pass for $70 and send your kids there every single day.
Yeah.
It was a daycare.
I remember it being
and so
quite
It was
busy.
Obnoxious.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, they're citing the cost of doing business here, and that is going to continue to be a reality. And this is one special Washington thing that's going away, and we continue to see that. And Democrats continue to double, triple down on the bad business policies.
Yep.
And again, COVID. The COVID shutdown here was asinine. It was absolutely asinine what they did to businesses. They have never helped to make businesses whole. Businesses have never been able to dig themselves out. Some of these some businesses like this that really were impacted in such a profound way. And so, you know, you reap what you sow. And it's not a surprise to me.
I'm going to get shame for not mentioning that there is a water park in Birch Bay where I'm from, Blaine.
Yeah.
But still, that's as far away as Grand Mound.
Yeah.
So
very far up there.
Very far.
You know what? People are just going to have to swim in a river like we did when we were kids. Don't swim in the rivers right now because they are deadly dangerous. But all right. It is Thursday. We'll have our segment Florida Report coming up next. Ron DeSantis taking on the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE. Ooh, that's a risky one. First, I've told you guys for years now to become a member of the First Mark family. I'm a member. Nicole's a member. So many Undivided viewers and listeners are members of the First Mark family because they offer an exceptional service. They'll take a look at all your current insurance, go over your needs with you, maybe any changes you have coming up in your life that prompted you wanting to look at new insurance. It might just be a cost thing, like, can you save any money on this? They'll go out, they'll shop the market, they'll come back with their recommendations. And we hear so many great stories from Undivided viewers and listeners after they take the First Mark Challenge. And it can be a range of things. Sometimes they say, hey, they were honest with me that they couldn't get me better insurance and kind of sent me on my way. I appreciate the honesty from them. That's fine. All the way to stories like Christine, who says she switched over to First Mark and they saved her instantly $10,000 a year on her insurance, her two businesses, her home, and her three vehicles. And she was freaked out about it because her carrier was dissolving and she thought she was just going to be SOL. Nope, First Mark stepped in and helped her out in a big way. So don't wait and wonder what could happen if you take the First Mark Challenge. Make some time. I'm sure all of you guys have some days off this holiday season. You know, maybe you don't have plans. And so schedule time then to take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. So they always have your best interest in mind. All right, with that, it is Thursday. Let's get to our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello.
So it happened in Miami. You guys have a Democrat. It's kind of surprising because Miami's this like very multicultural city and you'd think it's a Democratic stronghold, but it hasn't been. But now they have a Democratic mayor.
We do. Even though our mayoral race is nonpartisan, it does always tend to wind up very partisan. And yeah, so for the first time in 30 years, we have a Democratic mayor. She's the first female mayor ever of the city, and also the first non-Hispanic mayor since the 90s.
Yeah, because it's either usually a Republican or somebody with a who's Hispanic or Cuban, you know, or else both, yeah. Like a Republican, because your last one was as well. So I wonder what that shift symbolizes.
Well, honestly, I blame the voters because I pulled all the election results and Miami has 147,000 registered voters and she won by only 22,000 votes.
That's all the registered voters they have?
Well, the city of Miami is broken into a lot of different sub-cities. So if you live in Coral Gables, you don't vote for the city of Miami.
Interesting.
If you live in, the city of Miami is its own area, even though Miami-Dade County encompasses the whole majority of Miami.
Yeah.
So it is interesting, but yeah.
But this isn't the crazy chick, right? Who said like Castro is her hero, right? Different chick.
No, this is a different chick. This is a white lady.
Well, the other one was a white lady too. The one who liked Castro was a white lady too.
That's the only comparison between the two. But no, this isn't the socialist who loved Castro.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, at least there's that. I'll see how the city looks when I'm down there for the holidays.
Yeah,
all right. Ron DeSantis, effective immediately, Florida is designating the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, as foreign terror organizations. What's his justification?
So I kind of read through the executive order. Basically talks about the origins of the Muslim Brotherhood, how it was started in Egypt, and it's developed into this transnational network with a history of engaging in and supporting violence, including assassinations and terrorist attacks against civilians. It goes into talking about how the Islamic ideology is completely incompatible with the Constitution of the United States. And then bringing CARE into this, it talks about the Muslim Brotherhood's interaction with Hamas, citing events on October 7th. And Hamas has obviously been labeled a terrorist organization by the United States. So that them working together and kind of being in cahoots kind of makes the Muslim Brotherhood an extension of Hamas, in DeSantis's opinion. So based on that, and then CARE gets pulled into this because CARE was founded by members of the Muslim Brotherhood. And then there's also like on record, people affiliated with CARE saying that it's an official U.S. cover representing the Islamic community, basically to conceal its ties to extremist groups.
Yeah, it says, whereas individuals associated with CARE have been convicted of providing and conspiring to provide material support to designated terror organizations, and whereas the executive director of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement is responsible for coordinating ongoing assessments of the state's vulnerability to terrorism. And so they're basically saying that CARE has provided support to terrorists, and that's an accusation that's been made about CARE. Outside the state of Florida, CARE, our friend Ari Hoffman, who covered, you know, obviously what's happening in Israel and, you know, all the activities of Hamas, has been very critical of CARE in Washington state and them sort of acting as sort of a supportive entity to terror organizations. So CARE, for its part, has responded by suing the state of Florida. Here's what Governor DeSantis said about that.
I welcome the lawsuit because what will happen is that will give the state of Florida discovery rights to be able to subpoena the bank records, to be able to do that. And honestly, it'd give us even more reason, you know, I believe. And so this is something that I know our attorney general is ready, willing, and able to be fighting on this. And so that's they have every right to sue. And then we're going to have a right to get the information that we need to make sure.
Yeah, so I guess they'll get to the bottom of whether the accusations against CARE are true, and a lawsuit will help to figure that out. All right, Miranda, Florida leading the way. I don't think that the state of Washington will ever sue CARE or try to label them a terror organization. So we'll see how it works for you guys.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you.
Bye.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Meow. Meow.
know, I didn't boop earlier, so I might as well meowed for you guys. Sorry, I didn't sleep well last night, and I've been at a hotel two nights in a row. I can't sleep anywhere but my house. Mike convinced me a couple years ago that we should splurge on a nice mattress. And now I used to went from loving staying in hotels to hating it. Can't get comfortable, can't sleep. So I wasn't in the mood for booping, but I'll meow with the alligator if it makes you feel better. All right, we'll get to, shouldn't take it out on you guys though. We'll get to comments from the live stream first. There's gonna be a busy, busy legislative session coming up in January. We'll be back to doing weekly updates on what's happening down there. We already know the taxation issue is gonna be big, but I also anticipate on the housing affordability front that they're gonna pass some more dumb laws regarding landlords and tenants, maybe even expanding and making their rent control policy worse. So if you are a small to mid-sized landlord, I highly recommend today become a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington, because that's the only entity that's going to help you navigate these waters. And also they are your advocates in Olympia. And so you can support the work they're doing in Olympia by becoming a member of RHA. There is absolutely strength in numbers. And then on an individual basis, they can help you out to navigate, you know, questions, concerns you have about new laws, new regulations. And, you know, maybe you're having trouble evicting someone and they can let you know what your options are. So you just have someone in your corner. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. Become a member today. All right. On Ferguson asking feds for help. Let's see. The last Robs Pierre. It's weird asking for help from someone that you are actively suing. I know, 45 times, apparently. Don't get dead. Whatever FEMA does under Trump for Washington State, they will still whine and complain, being the bunch of backstabbing communists that they are. Wow, that's really aggressive. Joe Wilson, Bob, quote, heavy rain negatively impacts the marginalized population more than white people. African Americans have not had access to swimming lessons. Liberal women can't get wet. Their hair dye bleeds. Oh, yeah, if Bob Ferguson had said all those things, I'm sure he was thinking it. AG Nick Brown suing the Trump administration, and can he be trusted to defend the Let's Go Washington initiatives? Jules, we the people should sue Nick Brown for the abuse of taxpayer dollars and frivolous lawsuits. You want to join me, Nicole? I don't think we've seen you today. Are you being flooded?
My back.
Your mic's not on.
I turned it off instead of on. My back, like yard area, is a bit flooded because they are building next to me. And so it's like draining into my backyard area. So that's kind of a bummer. But so far it's staying below my patio. So.
Yeah. Was I too harsh earlier on saying I'll make fun of you if you're an able-bodied adult who ignored evacuation warnings and you have to get rescued by Swiftwater Rescue?
Well, it is frustrating, but I'm trying to decide whether your husband would heed those warnings.
I'd make fun of him, too.
You would make fun of him.
Here would be my big, burly husband having firefighters, you know, get him out, and I would be like, ha, ha, ha. You know, you did that to yourself. But again, if you get swept up in something, I'm not making fun of people who need to be rescued in a natural disaster. But if you did it to yourself and you didn't heed the warnings and you stayed at your house, then you're like, oh, shoot, maybe those warnings were made for a reason. I'm not going to feel bad.
As if you're going to be able to hold everything in your living room up on your shoulders.
Right. It's just, what is the point? And there was a lot of go orders last night. I saw them coming out where it's literally like, go and go now. Here's the map. So hopefully people got out before it got to that situation. Let's see. Did I already read that? Allison, kind of sounds like Washington is making trans a business, just like homelessness. Yeah, I mean, they look at how much money they spend on trans-related issues. And they say, oh, but it's just a small percentage of the population. Why are you spending so much money on it then? Why are you spending so much money on it?
Well, it's kind of like, we've said this before, but once gay marriage was a thing, there was all this money funneled into the gay marriage fight. And then once they won, and gay marriage was kind of universally accepted for the most part, they needed to fundraise. So they still wanted a cash flow. And so they were like, well, who can we help next?
Who's marginalized now? It was black people, and now it's trans. Somebody has to be marginalized for you to play the victim, right?
They needed a constant fight, and they needed somewhere to give that some place to ask for money to create those jobs, just like the homeless industrial complex. Like, they just want a job. They want those positions.
Yeah. All right, on the Seattle police detective stoking fear, shameful. And you know it takes a lot for me to criticize police. It really does. I mean, I've been a friend of SPD for a long time, but I'm not going to defend a detective using her badge to fearmonger. Little Miss J, I want to stress many of these leftists are very strategic. She isn't dumb. She's pushing this false information out until it becomes real to the young viewers. And that's the danger of it. If I were a just average sort of viewer, right, and I saw in a news story a Seattle police detective saying this initiative will cause more kids to be sexually abused, I'd be like, oh, wow, that's scary. Because I'm not going to question it. Why would I question it? So it's really disgusting stuff. And it's we've got 11 more months of it.
And you're right to say that they like she's a coach, she's a mom,
she knows
that they already have an exam.
It's completely inappropriate. Bill Biz, the Seattle left has realized the effectiveness of repeating a lie. Their people want to believe it. Yeah, you're more willing to believe a lie that you want to believe. You want it to be true. Rachel Cisneros, this is very disturbing. How many lies has she told while performing her duties as a detective? I want to know that too. Because if you can lie with ease in front of a camera like that, what's to say you can't lie in the course of doing your job?
Right.
I mean, honestly, there really just should be a rule about it. I know there's free speech and political stuff, but if you're identifying yourself as a detective, totally different if she's up there. Like, I'm a mom and I'm a coach. But she's claiming to be an expert in this arena and then making up a false threat. I don't know what the... Does she... I would encourage people to email SPD about it.
Yeah, I'm not satisfied with their response.
It's totally inappropriate. I'm basically saying she's lying. Here are the lies. Is it acceptable? I would encourage you guys to email the Seattle Police Department about it. Be polite, but just say it's very troubling to you, that if it is troubling to you, I won't put words in your mouth, that this Seattle Police Detective, Elizabeth Waring, would be saying the things that she's saying. All right, where am I at? Katie Wilson wanting Seattle to be her living room, by all means. Wait, what? Says, even my neighbors pick up after their dogs. I have seen downtown sidewalks. Yeah, downtown sidewalks have human feces on them, so that's not going to be my living room.
Oh, and she's promised to clear the camps or whatever, and there's already camps growing outside of the Seattle Center and things like that. Oh, you're going to go let your baby play down there?
So make it less safe.
And let him crawl around?
Just ridiculous.
Doubt it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We want a socialist collective where families are just in tiny apartments, and yay.
I would love for the parks to look like a backyard.
Right, that would be great. Lynn Blevins, does that mean she will clean up the parks, or does she think garbage and needles are toys for children? I wouldn't doubt it at this point.
Yeah, maybe her backyard looks like a dump yard.
Yeah.
Junkyard.
Joanne Ewaldson with an interesting theory on why Wild Waves is closing, saying Wild Waves dies out because there are less kids. People aren't just, they're just not reproducing anymore.
That's true.
I think you can go to Wild Ways as an adult, though, and have an enjoyable time. Or is that weird? Would it be weird to go as an adult alone?
Without any kids? Yeah, probably.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, probably. Okay. I always take children with me.
So. Okay, gotcha. Thanks for clearing the record. All right, a little super chat from Skeptic. You are on fire today, Brandy. Keep it up. Enjoy your holiday break. The holiday break isn't happening yet. Did I lead you to believe we're going on holiday break?
We got a week left.
Yeah, do we just have next week? I suppose, yeah. Wow.
It is scary how time flies.
That is. But we're working on some special reports for while we're gone, and they're going to be absolute bangers. So, you know, we don't abandon you, and we don't miss Sundays with subscribers. So it's like we're gone, but not really. We're never really gone, you know? All right, Nicole, thank you. Yeah. We'll get to our closing sanity check. Speaking of bangers from Kristi Noem, just absolutely firing back at Democrats during a congressional hearing. First, with talk of an AI bubble and really anything else going on. I think it's always good to get a second opinion on something as important as your retirement portfolio. Have you just sort of been letting it ride and come what may? Don't do that. Reach out to our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital and just get a second opinion from Zach and his team. Just say, hey, here are some of my concerns. Take a look at this. Brandy said you'd give me some good advice, and he will. And he says, you know, he does this a lot for folks doing a second opinion. And, you know, half the time he tells people, actually, you know, it looks pretty good. It looks like who's ever been managing your money has done a good job. And, you know, and then half the time he'll be like, WTF is this? So he'll make sure he gives you honest advice, because there's nothing more important than protecting your hard-earned retirement and making sure that you can live out the dream retirement that you have planned. So schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review with Zach at knowyourriskpodcast.com. And then while you're there, you can subscribe to Zach's daily market recap. And of course, you can catch Zach on Swamp Watch with me. We've been having a lot of fun talking about, it's not really fun, is it? Talking about all the new taxes and things happening in the state of Washington. So knowyourriskpodcast.com. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, so there was a House Homeland Security Committee meeting on worldwide threats to the homeland, and Kristi Noem, of course, the DHS secretary, was there when something very odd, insane happened. So Democratic Congressman Benny Thompson was calling on Noem to resign and basically accusing her of using individual instances to try to scare the hell out of people, essentially. This is how he referred to the shooting and murder of a National Guardsman in Washington, D.C. at the hands of an Afghan terrorist.
Madam Secretary, you and the gentleman from NCTC referenced the unfortunate accident that occurred with the National Guardsman being killed.
You think that was an unfortunate accident?
I mean,
it was a terrorist attack.
Wait. Look, I'll get it straight. Then you can
respond. Shot our National Guardsman in the head.
Look, Ms. Chairman, will you direct the witness to allow me to ask my question?
You ask your question about how it was an unfortunate accident. And I even, in that moment, let's say you just had a slip of the tongue. Lord knows I have slips of the tongue on the show. Just say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean unfortunate accident. But I mean, what did you mean to say? The murder? Terror attack? Kind of hard to see how you'd confuse that with the words unfortunate accident. Of course, Kristi Noem fired back.
I think it's shameful to see the defense of individuals who break our laws. We are a nation of laws. If we are not a nation of laws, we're no nation at all. And that is what we are doing every day, is following laws. If you guys don't like the law, go change it. That's your job. You don't complain. I was raised by a dad who said, we don't complain about things. We fix them. Well, go fix them. If you don't like the law, quit bellyaching, quit hitting and attacking our ICE officers. Quit going out and protesting and screaming vile things at them. Quit calling them names. We wouldn't let our children do that. Go do something that actually matters by having an honest debate and changing the law. That's your jobs. You all should be fired, in my viewpoint.
Love that. And it is their job. And I've said this, if you really want to make the argument that we shouldn't be enforcing immigration laws, that we should allow people to come into the country illegally and stay here and live off the government teat, then you advocate for your member of Congress to change the law and take it off the books. I think that would be a stupid thing to do, and nobody wants to say that, but for a lot of them, it's what they actually believe. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been, can we do one more time on the event on Saturday, is that possible? So really need as many of you there as possible. And in fact, Frances Stout wasn't going to come, but now we are going to have both Annalee Wilson and Frances Stout speaking on Saturday in Tumwater about their experience as female athletes having to play against biological boys. And Tumwater is really the belly of the beast. The last time we were down there in October, we got protested by the alphabet mob. Some alphabet mobber tried to stab someone on our side with a sharpened stick from a sign. It was just crazy. And so the more sane people that could be there, the better. I do think it'll be less wild this time because we're actually going to be inside Michael T. Simmons Elementary School. And so be there to support these girls. Be there to sign the initiatives if you haven't already. And just help us give common sense a comeback. So that's this Saturday, 12 p.m. It's going to be the last in-person event I'm doing this year. And so it'll be a good opportunity to get together as Team Common Sense. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. I appreciate every single one of you, but I do have a little more appreciation for our paid subscribers. Approximately $5 more in value of appreciation. If you'd like to become a paid subscriber, you get access to Sundays with Subscribers, our weekly show. You also get access to participate in our daily subscriber show polls, live Q&As, etc. Just $5 a month. I think that's a pretty good deal. Go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show for $5 and you're off and running. So subscribers, will see you Sunday. The rest of you will see you Monday. I'm really thinking about all of you who are in the flood zones and hoping that you are safe and dry. And I'll read all your comments as well on our daily subscriber show poll just to check in on how you guys are. So talk to you soon.